I'll have to reiterate a few things. I learned how to teach from my father. I've paid attention to what he's done over the years. And many times, I'm grateful for getting excited. You know, we shout and we run, and those are good parts of service too. Actually, great parts of service. And they're encouraging to our hearts. But, you know, you can shout all day long and jump and do all these different things and leave here and not be able to battle in life. And then if that happens this morning, I have failed. I don't plan on failing. So I want to make sure that when you leave here this morning, as with any other service, that you have something to hold on to. Something tangible. I'm not talking about this, in the current day church, sometimes we have this intangible faith. You know the intangible is like you can't, it's in the air and it's floating like dust. No, there are tangible things that you have to physically and mentally do to change your life. Yeah, I'm talking about tomorrow. No, forget tomorrow. This evening. Forget this evening. Lunchtime. Something that you can tangibly do in a tangible way to walk, to make your walk just like Jesus. So this is the goals. I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to teach you this morning. We started something Wednesday night, and I know Sunday we have a lot more people here just because of the weekend and you know, people are working and different things, so I understand that. And I'm not going to take for granted. I'm not going to assume that everybody went back and listened to Wednesday. Amen. Because every time we miss class, we don't go back and study the notes, right? Amen. And so I want to rehash a couple of things so that I won't leave anybody behind or so nobody will misunderstand where we're going and what we're saying this morning. There's a statement that's made. If the premise is incorrect, the premise is a deep word for the starting thing, the foundation. Even on a building, when you build a building like this, or you build a home, or you build any type of structure that you build up, if your foundation is faulty, your building is going to have trouble. If you don't pour the concrete properly, come on, anybody know about that? If you don't set it and frame it and do it properly and don't level the ground off before you do it, if you don't start your foundation right, no matter how great your walls are, how much you pay for your windows, what professional roofer you get, it doesn't matter about it. It don't matter about the furniture you put on the inside, none of that. Because if your foundation is off, everything will begin to lean. There's a parable Jesus talked about in the Bible about the man building his house on the sand. Anybody familiar with that one? He built his house on the sand, and then the winds and the rains came, and it knocked the house over because it was not founded upon the rock, the foundation. So now your foundation, your beginning point, your building point has to be correct in order for the rest of your life to be correct. I even know it's like with some of the kids sometimes, and sometimes when they're babies, and the different things are going with the legs or the limbs or whatever, and so they'll put corrective things on them to show it, train up a child in the way they should go, right? They put things on them to make things grow the way they're supposed to. Because they know the premise is important. The beginning is important. The starting part is very important for how we flow and we end. It's a deep word, premise. Everybody say premise. Now, watch this statement. If the premise is incorrect, no matter how sterling, how great, how deep, how spiritual our efforts are, if the premise is incorrect, then everything that you do after that will be incorrect. I used the example about a plane Wednesday night. If your coordinates from the beginning are off, it doesn't matter where you want to go. No. When you load the plane and you are about to take off, when you're preparing to go, well, it doesn't matter where you want to go, what your coordinates say. If your coordinates are off, you can fly. It may take 2 hours to get to New York. And if your coordinates are off, Julius, you can fly for 2 hours and end up somewhere else where you spent the time. How long you been in church? Amen. Come on. How many years you been serving the Lord? Many hours you prayed. What's going on with all that time you praying and nothing moving? Y'all not going to answer me in here. Everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. These things y'all be asking yourself at home, but you don't want to say out loud. What happened all them times you've been quoting all them scriptures and nothing changed? You've been believing for the same thing for the last 55. Jesus was here for 3 years and turned everything upside down. Well, no, 33 years. He started his ministry, it was 3 years. Flipped everything upside down. So what's going on? You ever sit there and ask yourself? Now, sometimes, I got to get into this, but sometimes we don't sit and ask ourselves what's wrong because we're going through the motions. Let me tell you the trick of the enemy. Can I show y'all the trick of the enemy? Here's the trick of the enemy. He wants, look over here. Look at this. Take care of this. Go there. Get to work. Go there. Get your social security. Now get your job. Get your 401k. Get you this. Go there. Take care of that. Get married over here. Now do this. And you never stop to focus on life. He always wants you, they call it diversion. Like when you divert your attention. Well, see, as long as he can use diversion, you'll never see the version. Like I wrote this down the other day of who you really are. See, there's a version that God made you to be. There's a version that God had already planned out for you. There's a version that God has already planned out for you that is 100% victory. How many? 100% victory. It's a version that but he diverts you. Look over here. Look over there. Lo here. Where's the kingdom of God? Lo here. Lo there. No, the kingdom of God is where? But you don't sit still long enough to realize that it's right here. How long you sit still and really focus on God for a quick minute? I ain't talking about like I'm just how long do you have to really sit still and focus on who God made you to be? Yeah. We don't have long because we're praying about that thing that we're worried about. Yeah. Oh, we got to go run over here. And now I got to get to this scripture. But we have been, Romans 12:2 says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Now, in our religious mindset, most of the time when we see conformed to this world, we think in sin. Or we think of living wrong. But it is living wrong if you ain't got enough.
Right.
It is living wrong if you're full of sickness and you can't get over it. And so we have all these far-fetched things, but sometimes being conformed to this world means depending on that job. I ain't saying don't work. And don't you go quit your job tomorrow saying Brother Montrell told me to stop depending on that job. Because I'm gonna be like, I ain't telling nothing. But sometimes it's depending on what you can save. And all these different things. So the enemy diverts you. He got you doing this so much. As soon as you get this together, does life ever feel like this? As soon as you got this part of life together, something go crazy over here. Anybody ever experienced that before? As soon as you get a good grip, all right, so now you gotta put that down. Hopefully that stay still. It's like I'll be seeing Shauna with her kids sometime. With our boys, right? And they're young boys, so that's what they're going to do. Young boy going to play around, and they stare stuff, right? And as soon as she get one together, come, look, and she get him, hey, you sit down. I'm going to tell your tale, sit down. So she got the little one together, and he chilling, right? But attention span is only so long. He chilling and cooling. So now she got to go get the other one together, the other two together. The fourth one, he ought to be all right. Sometimes you got to get him together too, right? But I got to get them together. And so now I got this one together. I got to get Joshua. Oh, Lord, I got to go get Joshua. And I get Joshua together. And then I go on to Jeremy. But then I'm over here now. And Jonathan then got up. Not only has he gotten up, but he in the sub. Come on, find your life for a quick second. I got my money together. Now my marriage acting a fool. Got my marriage together. Now my chest hurting. Got my chest together. Now these people at work acting a fool. So you juggling. Juggling is cool. I learned how to juggle in middle school, but it ain't holding on to nothing. You're doing all this, and you never calm down to really see who you really are. It's a diversion. In the beginning, if the premise is incorrect, if the beginning thing is wrong, no matter how sterling your efforts, no matter how many degrees you get, no matter how long you've been working, no matter how good you act, no matter how good you try to keep your morals, no matter what you try to do, if the premise of your function or what you believe is incorrect, then everything you do after that will be incorrect. Listen to me. So now in the beginning, we know the beginning story, don't we? Don't we? Come on, we know in the beginning God made the earth and everything and made the animals, and he made Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground, and he made women from the rib, and he did all these different things. And so now we have a concept of what's going on in the beginning, right? And so they go, he said, be fruitful and multiply. We know the serpent, I ain't got time to go read it. In chapter 3, they say the serpent, he was more subtle than any other beast. Kind of like this world system. Kind of like this media. Kind of like mass media and everything you be watching all the time. And it's stuff that we take in and we think is normal. No, no, no. It's more subtle than any other beast. And started talking to them and tell them, hey, if you eat from this, you'll be just like God. You remember that? Anybody remember that part? I'm trying to make sure. I'm teaching, so I'll make sure that you're with me. You remember the serpent come and talk to him? I ain't got time to go. I'll go read it in a second. But he come talking and say, listen, he just don't want you to be like him. Lying. Why he lying? Because God said, let us make man how? In our image and our likeness. So in other words, God had already had an intention for man to be like him. God had already had an intention. It wasn't, he didn't work upon that thought. He started with that thought. He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let's make man just like us. Let's make man to function just like we function. And not only did he do that, not only did he say that and then make man, but then he started talking to man and saying, I have dominion. You have dominion. You name the animals. I'm not going to name them. You name them. What you want to call them? Dominion. So now God, this is original intent. So now the enemy is here lying. The serpent is on the ground. You know, anybody ever seen a snake before? Yeah, they don't just walk up and walk up to you like this. They don't just be like, ah, some of them camouflage into wherever they are. Right. They slither in, they find little holes and little spots where they can get into that a normal beast couldn't get into, more subtle. Right. They find the open spots and slide on in. Are y'all listening to me? And so now here's a serpent, and he's seducing Eve and Adam. Listen to what I'm saying. And telling them, listen, this is what the first failure came. Telling them that if you eat from this tree, you'll be like God. And the moment they begin to think that, that's when they lost. See, the eating from the fruit was just a manifestation of the thought process already. I prove it to you. Remember Jesus came? He came and got baptized, right? He came and got baptized. The sky opened. He said, the dove came like a dove. And he said, this is my beloved son whom we're praying. And then Jesus started preaching. Now, remember John the Baptist baptized Jesus. But when Jesus started preaching, John was nowhere to be found. Because Jesus was preaching a different gospel than what John thought he was going to preach. John thought he was going to come and clean up. Clean up, Jesus. Get them together. These heathens, get them together, Jesus. And Jesus come in and start talking about love. And turn the other cheek. And Jesus make a statement. He said, if they actually go a mile with him, go two. He said, now watch this. Now I'm going to tell you what happened in the beginning. He said, some of y'all say if you do this, you commit adultery. But I said if you thought it. Jesus is one up. And it begins with the thought. It begins as I think. It begins with the thought. So now what do you think about yourself? I need to change your mind for a quick second. Romans 10:17 says what? So then faith comes by what? And hearing what? All right, listen to me. I got to change your mind. I'm going over this so you can hear something different about yourself. Whatever it is in your life that you do not like, whatever it is in your life that you feel is not prospering like it should, it's something to do with how you think about yourself. It's something to do with how you think about your relationship with God and God's relationship with you. Do you think God is up there just as an instructor? Or is he a lover? Do you think God is up there waiting for you to mess up so he can slap you down? Or is he loving on you full of grace? Now we learn the former. We learn that he mad. We learn that he mad, he upset. He gonna get you. You better keep, the lightning gonna strike you, right? Y'all know y'all done said it. Let me stop lying before lightning strike me right here. And now he up there just ready to pitch. No, that's not what God is doing. He didn't even begin that way. How did he begin with you? He loved me enough to make me in his image. This is what he thought of me before I was even here. I'm going to make you like me. That's huge. That's a huge understanding. Listen, you don't have to study no other principle. You just stop and just sit down there for a little while. It'll change everything about you. But now here's the enemy, the system, everything around you telling you you ain't gonna never be nothing. You ain't gonna never have nothing. It's too late now. You should have did it when you were such and such age. Now you ain't gonna never be nothing. You might as well just go ahead and hold on to what you got. Don't try to step out on nothing new. Don't try to do anything else extravagant because it's over now. The lies. The lies. Listen to me. The lies. Don't start nothing new. I know you feel it in your heart, but you're too scared. Sit still. And the lies. And I'm trying to get here a little quicker. But if you're reading it, go to Genesis chapter 3 real quick. Verse 8. And I gotta set this premise. If the premise is wrong, and I gotta make you understand, if the premise is incorrect, if the premise is not right, if the starting way is not right, if the way that you start off, listen, if you start off in the wrong direction, trying to drive somewhere, you will not get to that place. If you start off wrong, are y'all hearing me? So now we gotta go back to the start. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And this is different from what we were reading before in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. What's going on? Next scripture, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Verse 10. And he said, I heard this Adam. Now, this is Adam's first time. For those of you who wasn't here Wednesday, didn't hear the message Wednesday, I suggest you go back in here so you can get a little background on what we're talking about this morning. But he said, and Adam, this is Adam's first time talking to God. So this is our first time. Do we believe the Bible? Do we believe the Bible? Say yeah. I can't hear you. Do we believe the Bible? Say yeah. I don't hear you loud enough. Do we believe the Bible? Say yeah. Okay, so we believe the word. This is our history, right? And the first time that mankind has ever spoken to God, this is what he said. Right. Right. I heard thy voice, and I could have got with that one and been cool with it in the garden, because we all trying to hear the voice, ain't we? Right. But then this next part, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Problem. Leo, the first time man talks to God, he talks to him out of fear. Listen, y'all want to study check me? Go study check me. Go ahead. Go read in the study check me. The first time that man speaks to God, he speaks to him from being afraid. The premise. He speaks to him from a place of, I don't know what he going to do to me. Now, why would he think God going to do something to him anyway? First time. The first time that mankind, the beginning of you and me and all that, way back in the garden, the first time man said something to God, he was afraid and misinformed. Who told you? The next scripture, go to the next scripture real quick. And then God starts saying, who told you was naked? Who told you that? Who told you was naked? It couldn't have been your creator, because I'm your creator. So who told you that? Now don't get it twisted, and you find yourself in these scriptures. When Adam and Eve eat from the tree, you know, we try to disconnect ourselves from mankind and we just look at Adam and them. No, that was us. Come on, y'all, own it up, y'all. Own it up, that was us. And so when he eats from the tree, it shows man's decision to want to make decisions on their own. Man wanted to choose the difference between good and evil. That's when mankind decided, you know what, I want to pick what I think good and what I think evil, and I want to make my own final conclusions. Now, you don't know where you didn't create yourself. You got created by a creator, but for some reason now you're smelling yourself. You done got here and named a few animals. You done got you an old lady. And now can't nobody tell you nothing. Now you're like, well, you got the apple, baby. I'll eat the apple too. And now you out your head. You ain't know you had a head before you had a head. Are y'all understanding me? Yes, and so now at this particular moment, he's misinformed, forgot his identity. He's made a decision that he wanted to be God. He wanted to make his own decisions. And now he's made a decision to make his own decision, and now it's ended up in fear. How many decisions we've made? We didn't consult. We did a little smaller prayer. And then we stopped. And then you say, Lord, stop me if it's wrong. Come on, we have to find ourselves. Everybody say, I got to find myself. Come on, say it again. Say, I got to find myself. Come on, say it again. I've got to find myself. And so we end up making these decisions and then asking God to come back and fix them. Or better yet, we do like Adam and we're afraid. So we try to hide. We try to, I don't know where you're going to hide at, but you try to hide. So now, here we, let me, I have to break this down the premise, the beginning of mankind's conversation with God started in fear. And many times the premise of our conversation with God starts in fear. You know, this one's going to shake you a little bit, but a lot of faith y'all think y'all acting in is really in fear. We think we're acting in. A lot of prayers that we pray are really maintenance prayers because we don't want to run out. Let me tell you something about faith. Can I tell you something about faith? It's faith, then it's fear. Fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is just the absence of positive faith. Fear is faith in another direction. When you're scared to lose, you got faith that you can lose. When you're scared to run out, you've got faith at that particular moment that it's possible that I could run out. It's possible that I can lose here. But you can't lose. Say, I can't lose. Say it loud. Say, I can't lose. I want you to say it like you mean it. Say, I can't lose.
I can't lose.
But you got to believe that. And you have to tell yourself that. And you have to understand that. And you have to found that on something. Can't just be doing it because it's a good pep rally. Are y'all understanding me? Your fear is really, really, really a faith in a different direction. And so many of the things that we do that we call faith, and many of the prayers that we say we call faith, and many of the confessions that we may call faith are really maintenance confessions. Faith demands progress. Faith will always, let me tell you, the just shall live by what?
Faith.
Come on, say it again. The just shall live by faith.
Faith.
Say it. The just shall live by faith. Say, I must live by faith. Say it again. I must live by faith. One more time. I must live by faith. What does that demand of me, though? What does that demand of me? Faith is never comfortable. Let me tell you, I'm going to prove something. Can I help you all for a second?
Yes,
can I help you? Say yeah. I was going to help you anyway. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. If it ain't forcing you to step out into a place that you've never been before, you're not in faith. Duke, if it's not pushing you to step out the boat on the water, even though you're a little nervous that you can't swim.
Right.
You know, we go to that story about Peter walking on the water. Right. We never take that to account, huh? We don't know if people knew how to swim back then. People don't know how to swim now.
Right?
We don't know. So that's faith. Everybody he's seen fall in the water probably drown. It's always going to get you to step out somewhere that's uncomfortable, Julius. That's a place that's going to challenge you to do something that you weren't willing to do. It's going to challenge you to do something that you can't do on your own. So now we got fear, which is faith in the other direction. Or we have the gesture to live by faith. Galatians 2:20, it says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of Jesus. So now we're either going to live by the faith of Jesus or the fear of Adam. Listen. You say, well, why is this important? Because for some reason to this day in 2017, we still are functioning out of that same fear. For some reason in 2017, we're still praying prayers, asking God to do something that he's already done. For some reason, and now in 2017, we are still approaching God like a boss or a dictator and not a father. The premise. Maybe you know. Sometimes you find out if you trace your roots back, you find out why you act like that. You ever had some kind of little quirky thing you got and you don't know where you got it from, right? And it ain't gotta be nothing bad. Y'all going straight to sin. Y'all going straight to an addiction. Now listen, stop. Calm down. Everybody say calm down. Look at your neighbor. Tell him calm down. Calm down. Look at your neighbor. Tell him calm down. Look at your neighbor. Tell him calm down. Wait, look. The church ain't about sin. Would you please? Oh, is it doing wrong? No. What are you talking about? Addiction. I don't want. Now you start blocking yours out. Stop. I'm just talking about a little quirky thing. Like you might walk a certain way, or you might say things, or you talk. Like we have accents. You know, we only have accent because the person that taught us how to talk had a. If you trace back a little bit, you'll find out why you talk that way, why you act that way, why you function that way, if you trace back. And if you really look back, and this is why I had to go to Genesis, if you look at this scripture, you really kind of see why I pray in fear and not in faith. Why sometimes I pray hoping and wishing and I'm not certain. Why I gotta pray so much about maintenance. Why do I have to keep praying to God about taking care of the next bill? You knew it was coming. God knew it was coming. Let him be who he is, please. You signed up for it. It's a simple, but we got to pray in tongues a little extra at the end of the month because we're trying to get something to come up. No. We approach God out of fear. We approach him afraid that we're going to lose something. We approach him afraid that he's mad because we messed up a couple days ago. Where's grace? Where's forgiveness? Where's love? It's always there. It never leaves. You just need to acknowledge it. God is not up there as an almighty instructor. He's a lover and a father. And I, as my father, physically, my physical father wants me to be just like him. God is the same way. He wants you to be able to have the same dominion. You got it already. You just don't know it. Oh, you got dominion already. You just don't know it. Because something in your mind, and we don't even got to go back. We can go back to Adam, or we can go back to Eve, and then that's a premise. But then they got some premises in your immediate life. They got some stuff your mama them told you. Or your grandma them told you. And I don't be asking for too much. All right, I got. And when you go over here, when we get in here, don't you ask for nothing. Black house, I don't know how that go. You don't you ask for now. I don't care if you're hungry. You tell them you good. And you better not say nothing else. You're going to be full and whooped. When you go in this store, don't you ask me for nothing. I'm not buying nothing when we're here. Don't ask me. Y'all can tell I got a hard thing about it. Don't you ask me for nothing. So we pick it up. So I'm not asking for nothing. I ain't expecting nothing. Right. I remember the first time when I found out we was rich. Like this. My mind, this is what I'm talking about. So I remember coming up, and I just remember, you know, the clothes were a certain way and shoes were a certain way, and so cool. And then don't you ask for nothing. And I understand why at the time, because I mean, I can't get you nothing, so we don't ask for nothing. Right? So I understand that, right? But I still learned the premise. So then I remember this one particular year we school shopping. And we went school shopping. I had my mind set. I wasn't gonna say nothing. I asked for nothing. You want this right here? You want me to have it? Smarter. I caught enough whoopings to understand how to put it back in their ballpark. Like, well, if you like it, I like it. Right? So I walk in, I'm quiet, we all shopping. I ain't saying nothing. So we get to the store, get the tennis shoes, whatever, right? And so I'm looking at a certain section because when I look at this section, I saw the price. I was like, nah, we're not gonna get those. Cause I ain't never had those. I'm not even gonna ask for those. Right? And so, but you have this little way of doing, it's called gleaning. Like you have this way of looking at things. You kind of glance over there, look at it, and hope they see you looking at it, right? Or y'all know you go and you pick up the shoes, you kind of look at them, but you know you're not getting them, but just pick them and smell them real quick. So I was going through the motions, right? And I never forget some Penny Hardaways, all white. Woo! Wiping it with baby blue. Well, I was going to seventh grade. Listen to me. Boy, pick the shoes up. And so I'm just kind of, I'm believing God. In faith, right? And I pick them up and I'm looking around. And then, so she walks up on me and she's like, you like those? And I was like, I had a decision to make in my mind. Is this a trick question? What's going on here, right? I got bold. I said, yeah, I like them. I like them, but I sat them back on the counter. I said, yeah, I like them, and sat them down. She was like, all right, well, just go ahead and get your size. And these shoes at the time was about $120. And I was like, She said, go get your size. I told the guy, go get the size or whatever. Go get the size. So I was like, could it be? Are we come up to the big leagues? So I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm gonna show you how it works. I'm cool. I'm ready to get these Penny Hardaways. I know ain't nobody else in school gonna have them. Because we already talked about who wanted them and who wasn't gonna get them. So I'm ready, right? So then I'm sitting there, and so while we're waiting, I tried those on. She's about to check out. She's looking for some other things. And then I saw another pair of shoes, some Grant Hills patent leather on the side. You see how, right? I saw another pair of shoes. So I said, let me see if this work again. So I just walked over there. And walk over there. Just,
watch out, yeah.
And I grabbed the shoes. I did the same thing, flip them over, well, smell them. Just, I had a, you know, got the ritual, right? Now. And I smell them. And so, but I'm in my mind, I'm halfway there, but I'm like, I'm about to put these down because I know we ain't made it this far. Two pair of new shoes. Name brand shoes. With patent leather on. No. Not this year. Not this year. Next year. I'll get the next pair. And she come over and say, you like them too? I said, two. I'm ready. Yes, I like them. I like them a lot, mommy. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I answered up, I was ready to go. She said, all right, go get the size. Go get the size and go get it. I said, man, we rich, man. Hey, can't nobody tell me nothing no more, man. We rich, man, we rich. We rich. I swear, I told my mama that years later, I ain't telling in the car because I thought she was going to take the shoes back. I told her years later, I said, we rich now. And then, watch this. Let me show you something. That changed my life. That changed my entire function. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I didn't realize it changed my life that much till just now. That changed my life. The ability to see something. And one, it's not, y'all, get over the shoes real quick on a second. The ability to see something and desire something, and then for my mother, my parent, to tell me it's yours. Just get your size, the one that fits you. Listen. I'm 12 years old. I'm 11, 12 years old. It changed the course of how I thought about life. It changed things when I realized I had access. Before now, we're asking, and we got to put things back. Before now, we're asking out of fear. Before now, we're told, don't you touch nothing. Don't you ask for nothing no better than this. Get you a good job and calm down. When it's bigger than that. It's much, much bigger than that. God expects much, much more out of you because that's what he put inside of you. But sometimes the premise. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? If you understand it, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, sometimes the premise, the way that it was set up, sometimes the way that we start things, sometimes the way that we learn things from younger. How much crazy stuff you learn? Yeah, hey, come on, y'all better talk to me up in here. How much crazy stuff you learn coming up? Just for no reason. And we don't blame nobody because we only get taught what they was taught. Like we're not blaming nobody. We all grow up, we all learn, right? Every creature never learned. But just think about some of the crazy. Come on, for a quick second. Think about some of the crazy stuff you thought you learned about God. And so if I never go back to deal with my premise, and I never go back to change my premise, then my walls and my windows and my roofs and my furniture will all be on a faulty foundation, and it seems like I can never get together. Does life ever seem like I'm trying to get out the starting blocks, but I can't get out of them? Or even if I get out a little bit, it should be more than this. More should be going on. More people around me should be changing. More people around me should be seeing Jesus. More people around me should be expecting more from God. More people around me should be asking me where you go to church at. Yeah.
Right.
So I got to fix the premise. So let me deal with something for a quick second. God is not a beater or a cursor. God is not a cursor. His initial thing wasn't just to make you so he can curse you. The reason that they got put out of the garden, we started from that part a lot of times. We start from that part where they messed up and now God punished them. No. You punish yourself. Adam and Eve punished themselves. Look, cause and effect. Because you did this, this is what's going to happen. Right? Because this happened, this is going to happen. But remember now, this would not have happened as long as the earth remained in seed time and harvest. Ain't going to be no apples if ain't no apple seed planted. But if apples show up, you remember you planted that seed. Find yourself. Can we find ourselves for a quick second? Come on, find yourself. So now Adam and Eve get put out of the garden, not because God mad, not because God ain't good, not because he done changed his mind. He still thought man was the same thing. Can I give y'all a good one? God never changed his mind about you.
Yes, sir.
No, y'all need to let that one sit down for a minute. Y'all thought he changed his mind back to loving you right when Jesus came. No, he never changed his mind about you from the beginning. The only mind that was changed was yours. It's a result of a decision that they made. And so now he got to get them out the garden. Hey, y'all got to leave now. Y'all got to go now. All right? And it's funny. I was thinking about the parable of the talents. And it's funny, we're like, why God could have let him stay? No, he tried to let him stay. He tried to keep in that position. When I asked that question, I ain't going to go over it again, but when he asked that question, where you at? Right. Remember he asked him? Well, go back to verse 9, I think it is. Verse 8 or 9. He said, where art thou? Where you at? Is it, what verse is that? 9? He said, where art thou? God knew where he was already. God already knew where he was. So right here is a moment for Adam to own up, to just say, hey, you know what? I'm tripping. I messed up. Can we get this together? But Adam continues to hold on to his ego and his ways. Find yourself, y'all. Can we find ourselves? I found myself in here, deep in here. And I had to change some of my ways, still changing them. Because I hold on to a decision I made, and then I done made a decision, and I done held on to the decision because I don't want these people around me to think I was wrong. Where art thou? It's a moment of grace. Adam has a chance to jump out and say, listen, I ain't going to lie, I was a little scared, and I was hiding, but I'm sorry. That ain't what he said. Go to the next scripture. Adam don't say this. Adam says, I heard your voice. I was scared. I was naked, and I hid myself. Next scripture. And he said, who told you was naked? Has thou eaten of the tree? Well, now he knew this too. This two times. There's two questions. Two questions that God asked that he knew the answer already. But it's two times he's trying to give Adam a chance to own up. Just own up to it, bro. Bro, yo, just own up to it, bro. Listen. How about, hey, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Real life, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Listen, how about we own up to where we at right now? Real quick. Don't blame your boss or your job or anything. How about we own up to right now? Can we own up to it real quick, Mike? Can we own up to it? Own up to right now. Two questions. Next scripture. And the man said, now this is the wrong conversation. You saying the wrong thing. I started talking Wednesday about certain things, and I know this is about, I'm quick to say thank you, and I'm quick to say I'm sorry. I try to force myself to be that way. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all know we can do stuff sometimes, and we knew we was wrong. We knew we talked to such the wrong way. I'm playing with me up in the house of the Lord. Lord have mercy. You knew you talked in the wrong tone of voice. You knew you said some stuff you ain't had no business saying. I don't care how you felt that day. I don't care how long your day was. That don't give you a right to just say what you want to say when you want to say it. You're speaking to God's child, not yours. Are you hearing me? So now, you know you was wrong. You know you talked outside of your head. You know you offended somebody. You know you was doing, but you just won't own up to it. And then you act like you don't see him next time. It's wrong conversation. And the man said, the woman that whom thou gave to be with me, she gave me out of, what that got to do with you? What that got to do with your meal? So you done ate some poison. Well, man, my sister handed it to me. So who cares? What about you? And the first thing he begins to do is blame. Blame somebody else, KJ. He blaming somebody else for his shortcoming.
Right.
The first thing he did he go on that scripture? Then the Lord said to the woman, and then go on that scripture. She blamed on the serpent. Then the Lord said to the serpent. And nobody, not one human being in this passage took ownership. There's not one, nobody said, nobody took ownership, not only ownership, and nobody said they were sorry. Nobody said, I'm sorry. Nobody said, forgive me. Nobody said, please, Lord, please. Lord, please have mercy upon me. Nobody said it. Now, that takes a certain kind of mindset. It takes a certain kind of understanding for you to just be remorseless.
Yes, sir.
See, the issue is much deeper. Then if you read a little deeper, the issue is much deeper. See, eating from that tree of knowledge of good and evil made a problem in your mind.
Yes.
And the issue becomes much deeper and you're remorseless at times.
Right.
You get it?
Yeah.
That's why we can be that way. Find yourself. Right? Or we find ourselves. I'm finding myself. That's why we can be that way sometimes because of the premise. And so they go through their whole thing, and then they end up leaving, and nobody comes back. Nobody writes a letter. Nobody leaves a note. Nobody ever comes back and says, Father, we're sorry. Father, we messed up. Father, we was tripping. Now, what do you think God would have said? Well, you know what he's going to say, because what did he say to you? I know I go to him a lot. Lord, I was tripping. God said, you cool. Do it this way next time. But you good. Right? He's a loving father. He's a good, good father. He'd have done the same thing. He gave chance for repentance. But he didn't do it. And so now this fear, right? The deception led to fear, was led to just being ungrateful. This is why we can be and we can function this way for so long. And so now our premise becomes incorrect, which is why we have a problem with changing course. When we set course in one direction for so long and we realize that it hadn't worked, we got a problem with going back and changing course. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I done started this degree, now I'm going to finish this degree. I done started this, now I'm going to finish this. I done started this way, and now I'm going to finish this because I done just put too much time. Who cares about the time you put in? You can put in all the time, and if ain't no fruit on the end of that time, then what's the point? Are y'all hearing me? But I gotta fix, before I go anywhere else, I gotta fix the premise in me. I gotta fix my starting point, right? I gotta fix where I'm operating from. If I don't fix where I'm operating, if I don't go back into my understanding and fix where I'm operating from, then I'll never change. I love it. What Apostle teaching on about going back and finding out before slavery and find out, that's important because you gotta go back to find out where you're operating from. Because if you don't know that, then you don't know, you really don't know your problems. My father, my literal father, Apostle, talked to me when I was younger. Still talk to me to this day. And he'll talk to me. When I was younger, I was coming up and I was developing my ways of doing things and how I thought about things and how I functioned and the decision-making process, and I was developing how I thought. He sat me down and talked to me about some things. Not just about things in a book or things in there. He talked to me about himself. He said, son, you know, I used to be like this. He said, son, you know, I used to be out in the streets. I wasn't saved. I had all this going. This is what happened. He said, I used to be like this. I was hurt like this. I remember I had a situation where I was in a relationship and I got hurt. He sat me down and said, listen, the same thing happened to me. He said, but this is how I handle it because I wasn't like you.
Right.
He brought me back to the premise because I the premise was before me. You know, whether you know it, DNA. Everybody say DNA.
DNA.
Y'all know what DNA is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a long word. I ain't actually to say it right now. But DNA is in your blood. So right now, in your blood, there's DNA. But DNA is really information. Uh-oh. So that means in that blood was some stuff downloaded into you. And that's why sometimes you act. You act like I can't see you right now. This is why sometimes we act out a certain way. Or like just how mom and them was, just how our relationship ended up. Or just like, I'm not, just like it was before, this would happen to me. And sometimes we don't know why it keeps happening. It's DNA. Like it's a, our deep word for it is generational curses. Hey man, come on. Generation, it's just passed down in your blood. DNA, we learned in school, DNA is information. I mean, some information passed down in your blood, and now you got that. You didn't have to learn that one. It's just, that one just, it come on out by itself, right? And if you stay still long enough, you'll find it. Don't be in denial. Just be like, hey, you know what? That's there's something wrong with me. I don't know if you ever sat still. I have. You gotta sit still and you sit there and be like, something's really wrong with me. And I need to fix this. Right? Come on, sometimes you gotta come to that conclusion. Something wrong with me. And I need to fix this. So this is passed down in your blood. Some of that stuff is just, you know what I'm saying? See, if you don't know that, you don't know why you're acting crazy. Huh? Come on, all that getting get what? Y'all answer me now. You don't want to understand nothing right now. I ain't got no understanding. Yeah, you do. And all that getting get what? Matter of fact, how you acting gonna be how your kids act. I'm praying in tongues right now that I can break some of this stuff down before my kids get here. I won't have no kids for right now because I don't know what they'd have been. If I'd have had some kids for right now with the mindset I've had and just, I don't know. See, I'm going to keep it 100. We don't want to talk about that. People say, well, talk to my son. You talk to your son. You know better than me. He like that because you like that. Come on, y'all don't want to hear me right now, so I'm going to hear myself. We don't want to talk about it right now, so I'm going to talk to myself. Because we don't want to believe it, but it's the truth. I remember my sister last, she thought I wasn't going to tell it. We was younger. My mom, you know, they throw their faith on you, the scriptures on you. They believe seed time. I mean, even young, they just. So my sister was doing something, I don't know what it was. It was some just a little kid to do or whatever. And she had a little attitude with it, and my mama said, see, that's why your children gonna be just like you. That ain't the kicker. Out of faith. It's some strong faith. I remember the talk. Shauna said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. It's you. But it's you. But it's you though. I rebuke me in the name. What's? Are y'all seeing it? Come on, are y'all seeing it? Come on, I can't hear y'all. Are you seeing it? So sometimes that stuff is coming down in the generations. I receive it in the generations and in the mindset. And sometimes it's just in the blood. And see, I can talk to you. I can whoop you. How many whoopers you got? I done caught more than you all. I caught my shell. My mama be forgetting. You ain't catch that many whoopings. Say, mama, you I don't know if you was all the way there when you was whooping me. I could whoop it out you and I could punish you. Punish you. Sit in the corner. Get in the corner on your knees on some rice.
That's right.
Hold your hand out. And you be... And I gotta get finished. My mama swung one time, and I did like that because I was trying to get the tip of my fingers, and it missed and hit her on her own leg. I felt like she did this. You know, I was like, boy, I swear I'm about to. Woo! Then she came back, wiped that thing up. Chabba! I was like this. Catching that first lick is better than that second one. Right? I can whoop it. That's so funny. I can whoop it out you. I can beat it out you. I can try to teach it out you. I can try to therapy it out you. Come on. All the stuff we didn't try. Come on. I can try to pray it out you. Right? I can try to tongue it out you, lay hands out you. I can try to all it out you, put them all on you. All this stuff. You ever had that? Somebody they just don't want change. They keep doing the same thing over and over again. And just, I done prayed in tongues. I done said all the prayers that they told me I'm supposed to pray and nothing changed. Why is nothing changing? Because there's something in there that hasn't been dealt with. All right. So now if it can be in my blood, all that stuff from the beginning can be in my blood. If it can be in my blood, there's a way that they describe Jesus for a quick second. We're going to go to Jesus for a quick second. And there's a way that they describe Jesus. And when they started talking about him, they started saying, you know, in one of those books, they started naming everybody from the beginning. And Adam begat such, such, and such. And it went all the way down the line. It's like, you know, you'd be skipping that part when you're reading the Bible. Because I don't know how to say all them names, right? But you skip them. But the point is, and you end up reaching David, and Ruth is in there, right? And Joe, all them different ones are down up in there. And it's one line, one family line, one story, one family line. And then it says, and then Jesus.
Right.
Now, there was a reason that, Joseph was in the line of David. Right. Go back and read it.
Right.
Joseph was in the line of David. He was in that bloodline. Right. But you got to realize now, Jesus didn't have Joseph's blood. Come on, we ain't got to wait till Christmas to go to the nativity scene, do we? We ain't got to wait till Christmas to realize how this happened, huh? Y'all know how it happened, right? Yeah, Jesus didn't have Joseph, but he was put into that line. God injected the deliverer into that bloodline. And cut off all of these things that were bound to come down through the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Now, hold on, you need to understand what you're singing when you're singing. Because let me tell you something. Let me go back a little bit. In church culture, we have our own language. So when we say the blood of Jesus, we just think everybody understands because everybody been in church forever. But sometimes myself, being the person I'm thinking about reaching out, I gotta unchurch my mind for a quick second because we got our own language. So we say things and we assume that everybody understands them. Y'all know that, right? Right? And so you got somebody ain't never been to church, ain't never seen church before, ain't never done nothing like that. You say, how could that happen in 2017? Now, trust me.
Right.
It's a real thing.
Yes, sir.
And you begin to talk about the blood of Jesus, and it'll freak you out.
Yep.
It'll mess your head up. Be washed in the blood. That sounds like some old ritual stuff. You got to be washed in the blood. Now, we say it. You understand it. I understand it, right? But I'm washing up. Nah, I got to leave this church. Ain't nobody washing me in no blood. Right? But see, even when we sing the blood, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, when we sing it, right? We have to understand the power and the magnitude in what you are saying. See, when I decided, that's what I'm trying to tell you, when I decided to take Jesus on as my Lord and Savior, and I begin to believe on him in me. You get me? At that particular point, I had a blood transfusion. And so the sins of my fathers had nothing to do with me because I'm going back to my father. This is what I'm trying to say. When Jesus comes, and he shed this blood. I got another question for you. You ready? And I said this before, and I'll ask you again. When Jesus came, and you remember when he got beat? Do I have to go read it? No, y'all ain't got to read it. Huh? You remember when he got beat? I received. You remember when he got beat? And he's bleeding. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
And he was stuck in the side, and they whooped him. And they was punching him and beating him up. And he hadn't done anything. They stuck him in the side, and blood and water came out. And he's bleeding out. All those different things, right? All that blood leaving your body and you bleed out. And they say he died from choking on the blood. Why they hung him a certain way. Right? But then they just let him sit up there and he's just going to bleed out. I mean, just bleed out to the point where there's no more blood in there. Right? So you take his body, all that stuff, take him to the tomb. But then he gets up. He's alive. Is he alive?
Yeah.
And he comes back showing him. He come back talking to him, didn't he? And he in the body, ain't he? Because
you
remember he told Thomas, I ain't going to bleed nothing until I can put my finger in the hole. He said, all right, here. You remember that? So now he's in a body, right? What blood is this? Couldn't have been that same one. What blood is this? This some new blood? Is this some fresh blood? Is this some untamed blood? And now we're to a place where we have a blood transfusion. So now I don't have to be what was before me.
That's right.
The bad stuff, right? I don't have to fall prey to the same thing. I don't have to go. I don't have to be in fear. The only reason I end up being in fear because I let the serpent change my mind again. Because I let the system, fish, you hear me? I let the system tell me, well, you know what? You better be careful now because you're not going to make it. You know what? You better be careful because it's not going to work out for you. And so now I begin to pray out of fear when that is not my heritage. And so now here's Jesus. I didn't have much time to say it on Wednesday. I'm going to say it now. Here's Jesus. Here's Jesus doing all of the things that Adam wouldn't do. Not only would not Adam do it, but all of them until Jesus wouldn't do it. He take ownership. Put me in the line. Put me in the line. Let me have to deal with all up on my shoulders, right? And I'm going to handle it. And I'm going to take ownership for everything that has ever happened before me. I like to sweat, y'all. I know you keep giving me stuff. Let me sweat a little bit. I mean, I'm working. I done win three handkerchiefs. Jesus up here say, I take ownership. I've now took ownership for all the foolishness that came before me. I'm not going to sit up here and act like it was something else. I'm taking ownership for all mankind. No greater love than this that a man will lay down his life for a friend. I'm going to take ownership for everything that they wouldn't take ownership for. I'm going to take ownership for everything that Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, all them wouldn't do. I'm taking ownership for all that so that, watch this, so that everybody after me can live like me.
Hallelujah.
Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Listen. See, Jesus, it was a plan. God is amazing, man. God is amazing. There ain't no accident. That's why we cannot be stuck in religion. We can't stop at religion and miss the power. There was a plan. He injected Jesus into the bloodline and purified our blood. Now listen, hold on. Now listen, you can use the other blood if you want to. And it's gonna come out just like it come out. The blood of Jesus. Right? We can go on that line and begin to change everything. Jesus said this. And have to rectify it. Like we've got to own up to this scripture. What I'm about to say, we've got to own up to this scripture. Jesus said, whoever believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. I got to hold on. So now, I'm back there. Y'all sit down real quick, because we're going to stand up in a second. Y'all sit down. Now I'm back to the, well, something wrong with me. First rule in using the map, find out where y'all. Something wrong with me. Because he said greater works, but these is regular works I'm doing. If they regular, they might be negative. They might be in the negative. I might not be up to par in my works. He said, the works that I do, if you believe on me, if you believe on me, faith, if you believe on me, the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Now Jesus has taken ownership for everything you did or would do. And it gives you a pathway to be like it was in the beginning before it was a mess up. But just like in the garden, we try to get away from the garden. In the garden, no, right now, in your garden. Just like in the garden, one little word, choice. Choice. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Choice. Many times we study everybody else in the Bible more than we study Jesus. Come on, y'all. How many times you read through the Gospels? How much time you spend in the Gospels? Yeah, that's cool to read Proverbs because it got 31 of them, like 31 days. Cool. Bravo. What Jesus said. How much time are you spending with the Messiah? If you sit there for a little while, then you'll see, like he'll be a mirror looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are y'all understanding me? If we sit there a little time and spend some time with Christ, we'll begin to change. Moses is cool. God bless. I like the little stuff he did. And Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those guys are great. I find myself in them sometimes. So I correct myself. But Jesus, if I spend some time with Jesus, that's when I begin to change. Can't nobody else change me but Jesus. Can't nobody else convert me. There's no other redeemer but Jesus. Are y'all understanding me? And so my everything changes in him. Amen. Stand on your feet.